So the first time they were here, I went into the male staff locker room, and I killed my first cockroach. And then I went into the staff-only room, and I killed my second cockroach. And then I went to this other room, and I killed my third. And then I started doing a few other things, and it was about 45 minutes later, I'm getting ready for bed, and I killed three of them right in a row, and I get inside my mattress, inside my sleeping bag, and I'm sitting there, laying on the floor, and I'm just thinking in my mind, nothing but cockroaches. Couldn't sleep, all I could think of was these cockroaches like crawling all over my face, and like, you know, waking up with like cockroaches all over and inside my sleeping bag, and I'm scared out of my mind, and I can't sleep, and I'm just sitting there just going, and you know, every time you feel like anything, like you like twitch, or I just like, I'm kidding myself. Anyway, so I'm sitting on the stage all by myself, sleeping, thinking of cockroaches, and it dawned on me about 3 hours of not sleeping. I just go, what am I scared of? And I began to reflect on this a little bit too much than I probably should have. But I was like, it's a cockroach. Like, what's it going to do? Like, even if I was like in a sleeping bag full of cockroaches, which is really gross to think of, but it's probably one of those weird TV reality shows where you can like get a sleeping bag with 1,000 cockroaches and you can sit there for 5 minutes and get $1,000. But even if I was, like, I'm not going to die. And I began to be terrified. And ultimately, that's what I was scared of. I was scared of dying. Why was I afraid of the cockroach? Because in my mind, which is able to make things bigger and bigger than what they really are, my thought was, if a cockroach, you know, bites me, it's going to hurt. If it hurts, I might have to go to the hospital, then I have to, you know, probably have to amputate my whole entire arm or something. But it was only a fear of death. And of course, I wasn't thinking all this at that moment when I landed my mattress, but my sleeping bag, but all that's what it is a fear of death. I was afraid to die right then and there. And continuing to reflect, I was like, I'm kind of weird, but I'm like, wouldn't it be cool if I died like on this trip? And then I could know the patient saying of like people who go to Biloxi for like hurricane victim release, and my really cool saint story would be like I killed my cockroaches while trying to preach the gospel to thousands of people in Biloxi. Okay, so this is how my mind works. But follow me here. What I'm really trying to say is this. I was afraid to die. And if we read our first reading today, it's rejoicing in death. Rejoicing in death. We are afflicted in every way, but not constrained. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in the body. For we who live are constantly being given up to death for the sake of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in the mortal flesh. Once again, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. St. Paul here is like, if you would have written this like, let's say you were like, you know, like in fifth grade or sixth grade, and you wrote this like a little poem, like in your little daily journal, and then like Miss Fisher comes along, she reads your journal, she'd be calling the guidance counselor saying, I think there's something wrong with Jimmy. He talks about death, and he talks about how some other man lives in his body and is dying. She needs to be put on the Prozac. But this is God's word. This is like real right here. For we who live are constantly giving up to death for the sake of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Continuing on today's gospel, we have James and John, who are brothers, and their mom comes up. I can only imagine that James and John are absolutely embarrassed that their mom is coming up and talking to Jesus, if not only in front of the two of them, but in front of all of their friends, and they're just absolutely humiliated that their mom is anywhere present whatsoever. And their mom's like, would it be okay if my two cute little boys, could they like send their love from right to heaven? And they're just, you know, they're fake. They're like, Mom, I can't believe that you're here and you're wearing that. And you're not going to be here differently today. But anyways, so they're totally embarrassed. But she comes up and she asks, can my son send your love in the right heaven? And then Jesus says that he can't, it's not in his power. He says, you don't know what you're asking. And he looks at the guys and says, can you drink the chalice that I'm going to drink? And Jesus isn't talking about like going to some party and having this, you know, great cup of wine and some free cheese. Jesus is talking about the agony in the garden when he's sweating blood out of his pores of his face. And an angel appears to him, and Satan is there tempting him. And he cries out, let this cup of suffering pass, but not my will, your will be done. And Jesus accepts the cup of suffering. He accepts the chalice of death, because he knows through death life will be brought forth. Are we ready to die? That's the question. James and John, was their reply to Jesus? They go, we can! We want the cup! Give us the drink! And what does Jesus say directly back to him? Jesus says in reply, my chalice you will indeed drink. What happens to both James and John? They die as martyrs. So a little question about John. He was boiled in oil. We know that for a fact. There's one historical story that says that he survived a boiling of oil, and he didn't die a martyr because he died on the island of Patmos, exiled. But let's face it, being boiled in oil is pretty bad, I would think. Even if you don't die, it's pretty bad. Being exiled on the island is pretty bad as well. If Jesus came up to you today and said, are you ready to die for me? Would you say yes? That's the question we have to constantly ask ourselves. And it's not just a question to ask ourselves, it's a reality that we have to live. So today I was up on a roof, which I've never de-shingled a roof before. It's kind of, I'm like, I feel like a man laying, I'm like, I'm shingling this roof up here. And got my hammer and sweat and just pouring, rushing off my face. And I stopped at one and I was like, I'm really tired. And he's like, I want to go home. And I asked a quick question, do you want to die? And I said, yeah. So I kept taking my hammer and picking nails off the boards. All of you being here this week, you've already answered the question, are you ready to die? And the answer is yeah. You came this week, you aren't in the Bahamas, you aren't in a lake resort, you aren't in some cushy little hotel. I mean, you're standing on a gym floor, some of you are having taken showers by garden hoses, things of these sorts. We do have illustrious China phase every now and then, but that's the only nice thing we have for the entire week. So you've already answered the question of dying, but the question is, will we live it every single moment of our lives? When things are tough for the love of Christ, are we ready to die? That's the question. Or are we scared? Are we scared of death? Or will we live it constantly in our lives? Coming on this trip, I will be very honest with you, is a lot easier than the journey of death you actually have to live in your life to be a Christian. Coming on this trip does not make you a Christian. When you're with your friends and you're tempted to lie about something, that's when you have to die. When you're with your boyfriend or your girlfriend and you're tempted to do something you shouldn't be doing, that's when you have to die. When you're with your parents and they ask you to do something and you just want to lay on the couch and say, I'll do it later, that's when you have to die. It's the little way of life that leads to the big death. The death of Christ. Are we constantly living this death in our bodies? In our physical bodies that Christ gave us? If we do, we'll reach the resurrection. And that's why it's worth it. That's why it's worth dying time and time again, every single day. Because it leads to the resurrection in our own life and the life of others. Tonight, when you're laying in bed, and you feel something run across your face, don't be scared. It's okay to die. Because death leads to eternal life. It's okay to die. Because death leads to eternal glory. May we be like St. James, who was not afraid to die, who was not afraid to take the cup that Jesus took, the cup of suffering, and may we rejoice in it. May we rejoice in suffering, and may we rejoice in the sufferings that we will endure this week, and the tiny sufferings, all amount to something very big. May this be our prayer tonight. We may be imitators of St. James, so we may be imitators of Jesus, and so we can go to heaven.